Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello, Becky.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
Okay, it's Wednesday of a week that feels like 7 Mondays have already happened. In a year, in a month that has felt like 7 years.
Well, no, February hasn't felt as long.
What February are you in?
No, my February has not felt long. January felt like 10 bajillion years long. February has not, but this week has. Because it's also like cold as shit.
Well, and we have snow coming tonight. Jenny, did you know there was snow?
I lost track after the third storm, so.
Have your kids been to school this week?
Today was the first day.
Excellent. Excellent. And Amanda, are you being hit with that southern snowstorm at all? Because I know, like, I talked to Shauna, and she had something like 5 inches at 6 o'clock tonight in Virginia Beach.
No, we were mid-80s today. It was very warm. We're supposed to get some cooler weather, but cooler for us means, you know, high 70s, low 60s right now. Yeah.
Sawyer Bennett was making the cream snow, the ice cream with the snow and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they live Raleigh-Durham area. And I was like...
So they got snow again.
Yeah, and they got a lot.
They got a lot the last time, too.
I think we hit record highs today. It was unpleasant for me.
Well,
I honestly
I want to feel bad
that.
For you, but it was 18 degrees here today.
Yeah, well, this is my 14. Time to shine, as you all taught me during the summer. So yeah,
this is true.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's a little really cold.
It is really cold. Okay, so we are here to escape into a book for a short little while. This episode, we are reviewing Intercepted by Alexa Martin. This is book one in her playbook series. And we'll get into all the things, but who wants to share what we need to know before we start?
I can.
Okay, I don't think, just so FYI, this was not an overly tropey book, but I also didn't know what tropes fit this book.
It's not super tropey, though.
It's not. So, have at it, sister.
Okay, so the release date on this was September 11th, 2018. It is a sports romance football. It is a second chance. The series name is the Playbook series. This is book one. It is a series of standalones. The point of view is single first person. It is just in the heroine's point of view. The put out percentage is 50%. And the audio narrators, if you do the audiobook, is January Lavoie. It is available in ebook everywhere. And Becky listened to the audio on Spotify. So it is probably available most places too.
I think it is, except Hoopla did not have it. I saw it on.
Well, the free library in Philly had it on audio, but I don't use the Hoopla for that. Yeah. I don't know if they have Hoopla, but
I will say, so Spotify had 2 months free right now. And so I just thought I'd test it out because I also have our household. We have Amazon Music and you get one free audiobook a month, but it starts from the time you check out your first audiobook. So I started my first.
Oh, so it's like a rolling calendar.
Yeah, it's one title a month. My first one was December 27th, so that made my next one was January 27th, and I couldn't have another one until February 27th. So, which I'm not picking any indie authors through Amazon and the Audible because I don't know how they're being paid.
Yeah.
So I'll just stick it to the big corporations.
I really like January Lavoie. I didn't listen to this, but I've listened to her do other books that I've enjoyed. She does a really good job.
She was fantastic. And actually, you guys got a text last night because my headphones died. I had 10% left.
You were big mad.
I was big mad. I'm like, and Mike was watching TV, so I couldn't just like undo the headphones and like listen to it through the speaker of the phone. because it had like 28 minutes left and, you know, whatever. But I really did enjoy the audio. This was a second read through, but I read this when it came out in 2018. So it's been a minute since I read it. But I believe this is a first book by Alexa Martin for the rest of you, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
So something interesting to know about Alexa Martin, and I know, Jenny, you read a Vanity Fair article.
I did. I shouldn't have done that.
But it had nothing to do with this book.
It didn't. I was just curious because you had mentioned last week that she was a WAG.
She was a WAG.
So I looked her up, and I mean, the article is great. It just, I am not a
skewed your Kelsey view.
Yeah, I am not a Travis Kelce fan. Like, I don't dislike the guy. I'm just,
yeah,
he is just another football player to me. So,
well, and she was interviewed about the expectations of Taylor Swift coming into the WAG limelight and how that would look and how that would work. And she talked about her hero TK from Fumbled, that she actually wrote him with some of the Travis Kelce
outfit choices and
personality kind of things. So
yeah, the looks are the same.
Yeah. But I have to say, this book, Intercepted, had nothing to do with Travis Kelce.
And I actually know her. I know who her husband is. Like, I watched him play when he played. So
he played for Baltimore.
Even know this. Yeah, I didn't even know this. He won the Super Bowl with Green Bay.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't even, I had no idea that, you know, that that's who she was married to until I started reading this book. And then I looked it up. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So
I do think she brings a unique perspective, which we all have big thoughts. I know there are big thoughts about the other WAGs. But writing wise, let's start there. Pacing, writing. Did you find the story enjoyable?
I did. I would have liked some of his point of view, though. I feel like there was an... So the book is messy. We'll just put that out there.
This book is so messy. And I wasn't exactly... I remembered that it was her one night stand that she got back with. So when the book started out with the boyfriend that was not the one night stand, I was a little confused. I'm like,
well, and I was like, is this a love triangle that Becky didn't tell me about?
Which would be,
like, I can read them, but I have to know going into it. Like, I have to have the expectation. But yeah, so I think with as messy as this book is, I understand why she did it the way she did. But I think having his perspective on two or three different points would have made the book better, like more well-rounded.
Yeah. I also think, though, we have to remember this book was published in 2018. It was probably written and bought the end of 2016, beginning of 2017. Dual first person point of view was not common in trad pub till 2019, 2020.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, I'm usually one of those people that likes it at least like a few chapters. I didn't miss it because it was so fast paced and I liked Marley so much. I didn't miss it until the very end, like during the third act breakup. And then I was like, okay, I need you to make me not mad at you because I'm real mad.
So yeah, I needed that. And that's the thing, like, for most of the book, I didn't care.
Yeah.
But like, I needed his perspective on like her reaction.
Yeah.
And like why he chose it to do what he did.
Yeah. That was the only part, though, for me.
Well, let's talk about Mr. Gavin for a minute, because I have a feeling. First of all, Jenny, it shocked me that you picked this book up and that you even lasted to the end.
Yeah.
It's sports. It's sports. And then it's football. And then as we get to know, and then like you made it first through the first three chapters with the other boyfriend. Like, I really was expecting this entire time to get a text from Jenny that was like, what the hell are you making me read? I'm out.
No, I mean, it moves quick. It moves quick.
But thoughts on Gavin, Jenny?
Again, I'm with Leah. Like, we needed like some of his perspective because he just like kind of comes in and he's always there at the opportune moment. Like, always.
Like,
She gets her.
why is he there? Like, how does he
Yeah.
get there?
Right?
Is he stalking her? Because he seemed like it.
Mean, it seems, well, Chris is trying to get in good with him, right? So
Well,
there's that, but.
I also see Gavin as this. I think that he's what we expect of a hero and a sports hero. Just comes in, always there to the rescue,
Saves the day.
saves the day. Never, nobody ever questions why he's doing what he does. He just is there and saves the day. But I have to say that first moment when he is at the house and helping her with the dishes, helping Marley with the dishes, and he gives her the necklace from their one night
Yeah.
stand 2 years
Oh yeah, that was
previous.
good.
I was
I
like,
like that. Yeah.
He
Well,
pays
because like
attention to
they both like
details.
but also like they basically pretended they didn't know each other. And so she doesn't
Right.
know if he remembers her. Because it
Yeah.
was a one night stand and it was 4 years ago. And so she's like, but then she got the necklace. She's like, oh my God, he totally does. Like she has that moment.
Yeah, it was good.
So, okay, let's talk about Marley because actually, I think she's annoying. Like the
I
hashtag
love her.
everything, like, and it might be different because I listened to the audio.
That did get a little old, like
Oh, yeah.
after so long. I thought it was like I liked it a lot at first, but then it kind of got a little old. But for the most part, like I was like, I just liked her snarkiness. Like I liked her
I
a
do
lot.
like. Wait, in the audio, did she say hashtag?
Yes, like her internal thoughts, like hashtag Marley,
Oh.
hashtag boyfriend, hashtag whatever. And I'm like,
That makes me think of the SNL like hashtag. Like every time I
yeah.
read them, I was like, is Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon gonna show
It was bad. Like, towards
Hashtag.
the end, there were a couple times, especially towards the end, where I was like, forward 30 seconds, forward 30 seconds,
Yeah.
because I think it's the last chapter, not the epilogue, the last chapter where she says hashtag, like, it's like a paragraph of hashtags. And I was like,
Oh.
Jesus,
Can
Joseph and
I admit
Mary.
that, like, when the hashtag showed up, I just skipped until there was no
I did
hashtags?
that a few times too.
I did not
I
because.
read the entire book. I just did not read the hashtag section.
I would have been really annoyed if I had to hear that probably on
Yeah, that would have
audio.
been
So,
rough.
And that dates the book, right? Like.
yeah.
Well, and it did. It felt very 2016, 2017, when we were searching things via
When the number
hashtag.
sign stopped being a number sign,
Yes.
right?
Yes. When the pound sign became the hashtag sign.
I honestly like I'd had the hardest time with that. Anybody would be like, this is a hashtag. I'm like, no, it's a pound sign, people. Like it's a number. It tells me a number. Like, no, it doesn't. And then I felt old.
So let's talk about Marlene and how she her snarkiness and standing up to some of the women because, well, let's start just with that first luncheon and court. Like, I wanted to die every time she's like, yes, court. I did that, court. And I'm like, there have been so many people in my life that I wanted to be like that too, that I didn't, but I should have. Like, that's
Court
the
was
kind
the
of petty.
worst. She was
Yeah.
the worst.
Was she the worst? Or was it Madison, right? That was her name.
Yeah, Madison's
I
pretty
mean,
bad.
they
They
were
were,
both bad,
yeah.
just on different levels.
Madison, but I think Madison kind of personifies what we all imagine a lot of these guys have is like that hanger on that feels like she's owed,
Entitled. Yeah.
entitled to his time, entitled to access. And, And it's more than just that, like, she was the family friend, you know, he had carried her along with him. But then she goes and sleeps with Chris. And I'm like,
right? Like, what was the strategy?
Yeah, but I was not, I was not, like, surprised when that happened. Like, she had dude's gonna, yeah. Like, I was not surprised.
My brain doesn't work shape that or way. Form.
Well, it's, I think she's the stereotypical cleat chaser that they say.
Yep. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
You know, the puck bunny, but the football puck yeah. bunny.
Right.
Anyone will do if you can't have the one you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he wears football pants, he works.
So Chris.
Is a douche nugget.
He is a douche nugget. Like, got what was coming to him. He got let go from the team. I don't know that I needed that phone call in the end.
No.
Like, I didn't have any feelings lingering that things weren't tied up.
No, I didn't either. Right. I thought that was kind of just kind of like a throwaway. Maybe yeah, it was yeah. like, maybe it was a bigger scene that got edited or something. I'm not sure, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it did give a little bit of closure in the sense where, like, she's confident that, like, there's never, ever any going back. But at the same time, like, I didn't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel like there was any, like Becky said, I didn't feel like there was anything left to wrap up there. But, you know, maybe internally she yeah. felt like there was.
So, and again, this book was written 2016, which if we look at 2016 in the grand scheme of cultural references, that was the start of the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
And I bring that up because I did feel it was a little problematic that sexual harassment was used as a plot device for the hero to come in and rescue and save her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, reading it now, when I read it when it released, I loved it. 5 stars. Reading it now in the eyes of 2024, I feel like there might be other ways that you could have gotten that same hero complex. Because let's be honest, Gavin has a little bit of a hero complex.
Oh, he definitely does.
He does. And I think that too, you know, you were talking about him being the quintessential hero. He's also like the quintessential quarterback.
Yeah.
Like that's also yeah. like it all plays into that kind of almost stereotypical, you know, thing that you think of when you think well, of like
starting
a quarterback
too, like yeah. QB1s, like.
Yeah. Like best quarterback in the nation situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially near the end. Like he's the player, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I did like his agent and I liked her dad. Like the side characters in this book that would yeah. have nothing to do with the next book were really freaking great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, her foul mouth agent was my favorite.
He was a delight.
He was a delight.
But there's a lot of serious in this book. Like,
yeah.
It's fairly heavy in the messy. And so, like, with him, like, it broke it up because he was just ridiculous, but in the best way. And I think that if you hadn't had that aspect of it, like the book would have been a like it would have fell short because it was just so heavy.
Yeah. Well, it also makes me feel like Denver is not a safe city. Do not walk right? on the streets. Right? Do not take public transit. Apparently the New Jersey to New York train is safer than the Denver mass transit.
I don't know. We'd have to ask Krista.
And the sidewalks.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, the second time, like, when she got on the train and got, like, harassed, I was like.
Stacey says Denver's
all these ways she should have got out. Like.
Well, I don't understand why she was on the train, but then he and the agent.
Yeah, that left after.
Yeah.
Are out there? Yeah, same.
Maybe this is just Alexa Martin's experience in Denver.
Maybe.
Because Stacey says it's not that bad.
Because I was just, she was very front forward. Like, she knew she was in the press, and then she, like, got on the train.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing for me to get on the train, right? Like, no one knows who the heck I, except maybe, like, the 8 people on here.
But the
no one knows who I am.
You're famous to eight people on the internet. Well, the fact that she's wearing a bedazzled jersey that were like significant to the other WAGs, like, yes. And there was the Madison video going around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
ew. I don't want a victim shame at all, but like, make smart decisions too. Like,
well, that's the thing. Like, she was kind of dumb. Like,
put your hat on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's this. A personal awareness, like if you're traveling by yourself in a big city.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I think she was, you know, there was probably that level of, you know, she was upset and leaving and, but yeah, it's like, it was, I was like, man, this can't be happening to her again. You
know? And I do think it's slightly problematic that we used an unhoused homeless person yes. as a plot device that sold her out for drugs.
Yeah.
I'm just we didn't get any resolution on that.
Well, he got arrested.
He got arrested.
One of them did. The other dude did not.
No.
The co-conspirator was left to run free.
No, I think it mentions that they both get arrested.
Yeah,
oh, sure. Did it?
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was like very glossed over.
Like the one gets arrested.
It was just the one dude.
The one gets arrested, and then like I want to say it was like two chapters later, she talks about how because when she's moved back to her place, like it's shortly after.
Oh, okay.
Because she has like she feels bad for him for a minute. You know, there's like an internal thought where she's like, you know, she's like, he did sell me out, but I feel, you know, she feels bad for him kind of thing that he got arrested.
I think the biggest thing with Marley is she's kind of naive and like she's sheltered, but not sheltered at the same time.
The other piece of this with the whole like sidewalks and mass transit not being safe. She was from Colorado. She talks about living there all of her life.
Well, they go to her parents' house.
Right. Like, don't... I just felt like there was some disconnect. Like, not that I'm going to feel safe. I don't know. I feel like I could walk in downtown Cleveland and would I be okay? Yes. Because I know what streets to avoid, you know...
That's the thing. Like, I could do it in Pittsburgh, but it just depends on which section of Pittsburgh you're in and what time.
Right.
Yeah, and I think some of that was, you know, some of it was she was pretty sheltered. I mean, she went from living with her parents to living with Chris. Like, she had always been living with Chris, and they lived in a gated community. And, you know, I think there was that level of naiveness.
And she loses her car to Chris, maybe. Yeah. Maybe like that wasn't made clear. Maybe that's the first time she's had to use public transportation.
And maybe. Maybe.
I mean, that honestly, would make more like sense,
but I don't know.
Personally, like we don't, I mean, granted where I live, we don't have public transportation. So like I've never had to use public transportation. So if I, God forbid, ever move to a city, I would have to learn how to use it. I'm never moving to a city. So it's not really an issue, but I hate the city.
Yeah, because if I was like trying to get my kids on the subway, like they would
like I would have to do some research on like what to do because I've never experienced that because like I went to college in like a small town.
It's okay, Leah. You didn't just stay in your little bubble. You'll be safe.
I like my bubble. Thank you very much.
What did we think of hers, the bar?
Well, it's a nice concept.
I love the concept.
Mm-hmm.
But I will have to say there were a lot of pop culture references in this book, more than I remembered, that kind of like dragged it down.
Yeah.
Skinny girl, which we all know is by that problematic housewife lady.
What's her name?
Yeah.
Frankel.
Yeah, Bethany Frankel. Something.
Bethany Frankel.
Yeah.
Like, and also.
But that stuff still exists.
Yeah, and it gives you the shit.
I still buy it. I don't know. I've never drank it because if I'm drinking that shit, I'm drinking like the real stuff.
Don't drink it. It'll give you the poos. anyway, there was a lot of pop culture references within it. And I thought, oh, that kind of dated the book a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, like I caught those pop culture references, but I would, someone who's new to romance and younger
Also not
than I
our
am,
age.
obviously, I don't think I
I
think it
think
would
that's
probably
the
go right
big
over their
thing.
head.
Not
Yeah.
necessarily new to romance, but
Well,
younger
yeah.
than we are.
Not vintage.
I was trying to give myself like, some leeway there, Leah. Thanks. No.
You're welcome.
Jenny just
I'm
called you
just
guys
calling you.
vintage.
That's fine. Yeah, well, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm fine with vintage. That's fine. I'll take it.
I mean, I do like vintage things, so I can be vintage as well.
So let's talk about the third act drama.
Okay, he was a dummy. Like, I wanted
Let's
to
break it down in
junk
parts.
punch
Let's
him.
talk about first that he, let's first talk, before we get into the actual breakup, let's talk about him taking her to Oyster Bay, obviously knowing that negotiations are happening for him to go to New York because he wants
Yes.
her to meet his family, to see where he has a house. His sister is legit the worst.
Hey, like what the heck,
Like,
lady?
you're gonna believe Madison over like your brother and your mother. Really?
Well, bitches be crazy.
I mean, I don't know. If you look at it, he was layering a lot of plans from the beginning. So his downfall, actually, in my personal opinion, his downfall starts at 70%, not 85%, because that trip to Oyster Bay was calculated.
Well, yeah. Now, I will say, like, there are oftentimes when negotiations are happening, like, they don't talk about them. You tell your significant other.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
If this person is someone you've said I love yous to, and I think
Well,
that's
if this
it.
person is somebody you want to take with you tell them you might be moving across the freaking
Right? Yeah.
country.
Well, and
It's not
they.
like it's a couple hours. Like, you're not hopping to California. Like, you're going to fucking New York.
But they were like in a relationship. They had shared I love yous. They were
Yes.
together. This is not a situation where they were still casually dating and feelings hadn't been talked about. This is a situation where they were committed. They'd been together for 4 months. Like things were moving. And you're gonna go. First of all, he lied. He lied. He lied. He lied. He said he was going to spend t a weekend with his mom.
Yeah.
And he went and sold and signed the biggest contract in the NA or NFL.
Yeah, wrong sport there, friend.
But I got it, NFL.
She
I
corrected.
got
She
it.
course corrected. Yeah.
So when you guys realized that that had happened in the book, what were our thoughts?
I was big mad. I
was
was
like,
really big mad. So
you were a dumbass and you deserve all the shit that is poured on you.
Jenny,
But
did you?
then, oh, but it gets worse though, because
Yeah.
he signs his contract, doesn't tell her, and then they don't talk for like a week. And when he shows up to her apartment, he's like, "So I talked to your parents and your boss and this and this, and I have
Well,
it all planned out for you to come to New York with
the
me."
fact that she
Ready to
learned
move her that
from
day.
a like news alert on her phone. But Jenny, what were your thoughts at this moment?
Because I had an issue with, like, he said, oh, well, you said you would go. And
Yes.
I'm like, but you also, like, just said, like, get me a contract here in Denver to your agent. Like,
You manipulated the system. Yes.
you both, like, said things you didn't mean. So, yeah, I felt like they were both at fault.
I think it speaks to the their own immaturity. I mean, I know
Yes.
that she's young, he's a little older, but it's not an age gap. And I do feel that it spoke to their immaturity because we also get the impression Gavin is not a serial dater. Doesn't really date. He has flings, he talks about that, but he isn't somebody that's really been in long-term committed relationships. And I do think that there's an immaturity and an amount of growth that comes as you're in more relationships.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone's ever really told him no. He's like the
Yeah.
golden boy who gets
Right.
everything he wants. Not to say that he doesn't work hard, but like he's never been he hasn't ever had anyone just not go along with what he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he comes from privilege. You know, she talks about the family wealth, and things have just always been easy for him.
Yeah.
And I do think that that makes sense as to his behaviors. It doesn't justify him. I'm not trying to justify the behavior. I just think that it makes sense. I feel like in the plot of this book, for the type of character that he was, his behaviors made sense. Like the choices he makes in this book, it really stayed true to how someone in that position would also behave.
But I think this is where, like, we could have really benefited from his point of view, like why he didn't talk to her, but did talk to everybody else. Like why he made the decision not to tell her about the, like, the trip to New York in the first place, like why he made the choices that he did. And then also, like, why he didn't just talk to her in general, like when, like, because even like when they break up, like she tells him, like he goes to New York, she's like, I can't go with you, like I'm working on myself, which I appreciated that part.
Yeah.
But even like through that like whole scenario, like they don't really communicate a lot. Like they text back and forth, but it was very like she knew that if like they, like they were breaking up, but not breaking up at the same time. So I feel
like, oh no, see, I feel like it was a true breakup. She's like, you're going to New York, I'm going to work on myself. And I actually respected her for saying,
I did too.
I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was very mature on her part where she's like, I need to figure out who I am, like separate from everything else.
Because I think it would have been very easy for her. I think anyone in that situation, that type of character, it would have been very easy. She's always just followed Chris, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd been very easy to keep doing the things you were doing because it was safe.
Yeah. Well, and it was easy. Like she didn't.
Yeah.
It was just easy.
But she finally stood up for herself. And I feel like it was a true breakup. Now, the fact that 4 months later, and they talk about that it was text, he tried to reach out to her like very frequently, and then it just became less until it was radio silence.
Yeah.
I think that was better than him sending her flowers once a week on Saturdays. I think that would have tipped it the scale towards crazy stalker.
Right. No, I'm not saying that, like, I think they needed to have more communication, but like the fact that there was like nothing, and then when she shows up to New York, everything's like hunky dory. There was no like reintroduction. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I think the lack of communication towards the end of that 4 months, and then when she goes to New York, not that she has to tell him that part, it wrapped up too fast at the end for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I needed something more.
So, okay, so the ending, she moves to New York. She's gotten herself the position. She did all the work herself.
Yeah.
I did not love that she put the jersey on and went to the game, the practice.
Yeah, I didn't love that either.
And I
wanted them to, like, run into each other, like, outside of football.
Yeah, I didn't want it to be about football either.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was going to happen at the sushi restaurant, but instead, Chris on the phone.
Yeah. I didn't want it to be football either. And it wasn't really that she reunioned with Gavin. She reunions with the agent.
Yeah. Well, and he, like, outs her to the, like, the practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't. Well,
she
love
wasn't
that
planning
part.
On letting him know, right? Like, that was her internal thought, was she wasn't going to tell him that she was there.
Yeah.
So,
Amanda, and we've talked about this. This is our third football book in our month of football reads. We have one more to go. How did you feel about the football, the sport in this book?
I think it's accurate. I mean, you can obviously tell she knows what she's talking about. There was not a lot of it. I mean, but in this one, you know, there's not actually like a lot of on field, but you get all of the behind the scenes in this one. You know, you're getting all of that dynamic with the WAGs and how the trade stuff and the contract stuff works. You're getting a little bit of the team dynamic because, you know, Chris inviting him over and them trying to get together with the wide receivers and the quarterbacks, like that is something that happens. Like they spend time in the off season together to build a rapport. So I felt like all of that was very accurate. Obviously, I mean, she's married to a former NFL player. I feel like she knows what she's talking about.
Well, in that moment when the best friend's husband, I can't think of his name, Drew, was it Drew?
Dre.
Dre, when Dre gets hurt on the field, I felt like that moment was written exceptionally well. You know, talking about the stands going silent, she got the call from the trainer, knew to go. Like, we all know that there are steps, and you're not just going to run down to the locker room in the training room and they're going to let you in, right? But we see that in some romances, right? Like, he gets hurt and all of a sudden, you know, she's on the ice with him or something. Like, we've
Yeah, or on
seen
the
it.
field like that. Yeah, that's definitely not accurate. But yeah,
Well, but then I
I felt like
also
all of this was
wonder
accurate.
if she, like, I don't remember his career like super well, but I wonder if that was one of her personal experiences.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could have been.
And so, like, she knew because that's what she lived through.
I just thought it was exceptionally well done.
Yeah, I agree.
I also thought the moment where she's like, let's go ice skating, and he hesitates because he knows that that's not the smartest choice, but he doesn't want to disappoint her. So he goes anyway
And gets hurt.
and gets hurt.
Surprise.
This is why I don't go ice skating. Because
That's
you
a
know.
funny story. We were talking about ice skating today at my office, and the one he's like, if I went ice skating, I probably would have to have a hip replacement soon after.
I would have a concussion from ice skating, is all I'm saying. There would
Haven't ice
be.
skated in years.
I used to do, we have a ice skating club here called Silver Blades, and I did it for 3 years. And I could do turns and twirls, but I was also 10, 11, and 12, not 48,
We
47.
had a pond that we used to skate on, so I could ice skate with the best of them.
Look at you there.
Not anymore. I probably would break an arm.
Probably more like Tanya. What's the one that like
Tonya Harding and
Tanya Harding?
Hardy.
I mean, no offense, Leah. You're kind of the Tanya Harding of the group.
I could see that.
You know what? It, Amanda, you laugh. I was on a
No,
call
I'm
with an
laughing because
author.
it's accurate.
It is so accurate. I was on a call with an author last week, and she's like going on and on and about Leah and how nice she is, and I'm just like, I need to set the record straight.
I'm nice to her because I
In
like her.
the grand scheme of things, Leah is not the nice one.
It's true. And we say it all the time, and people still do not believe it.
Leah and
We,
Jenny are at the bottom of the nice scale.
if we were in the Golden Girls, I am B. Arthur.
Yeah. And
Fair.
your sidekick named Jenny, who's like Sophie, who's got like mean zingers.
Yeah, I just got those ears.
And she's like slightly hateful too. Anyway, I'm just saying they're
Sophie's a
not.
badass.
What? I
Sophia
mean,
is a
Sophie is a
badass.
yeah,
I
She's a
shame
tiny little
people.
badass.
And Jenny will take you out with her purse and it will hurt, is all I'm saying.
That's fair too.
I always makes me laugh when people are like, Leah, she's just so nice. And I'm just like, those are
Because I
lies.
am. I am very nice, but I also can be very mean.
Anyway, Leah scares me. Just so we all know, the reason Leah's never gotten fired
Oh, shit.
scares
Don't
me.
even say that.
Oh
That's
gosh.
just horrible. Lies. Rebecca lies.
This is true. What did we think of the epilogue? I listened to the epilogue, Melanie Moreland Karen, if you are listening, I listened to the epilogue. Because I book two and three, they do take place in the New York world.
Oh, okay. I didn't look at the new ones
Yeah.
or the
They take place in the New
subsequent
York
ones.
world. So her bestie and Dre get traded.
He
He
gets signed with
signs
New
to New
York.
York.
Yeah. I liked that epilogue only because it brings like Marley and Naomi back together. Like that epilogue was about them for me. Like I liked seeing them all back together. Like, you know, the two of them in the stands and Dre
Yeah, I
and
didn't
Gavin
care that
playing
she was
together.
pregnant. I was like,
Me
yeah,
either.
Naomi's there.
Yeah.
Well, there's.
Well, and it just goes to show like there's so much transition when it comes to professional sports. So like you can be, I mean, it is very rare for a player to stay with one team their entire career.
Yeah.
It's very rare.
Well, and I think that that was something that she kind of touches on, is that you make these friends, but the next week you don't know who's in, who's out, and who's going to be there, and
Right.
you're wading through a whole lot of personalities and dynamics within this group. Was there anything else about this book that you guys thought we should discuss?
I think we covered everything
I
that I.
The only other thing I had was that, like, when her dad first meets Gavin, like the little bromance that happens, I was
Yeah,
like,
like
this is
right
the
away.
best.
It was
And then
so
he
cheesy.
backs off from him, and I was like, this is so funny.
Well, when he's like, be home at 9 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah.
Her curfew is 9 o'clock. And he's
I
like,
did like her parents a lot. Anytime they were on
and
page.
again, I think the side characters were just as dynamic as the main characters. And this, I think this is a difference between like an ensemble cast and a star cast kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes in a sports romance, we just get the stars, the main characters. And we don't get enough, because that was like my complaint with last week with Rival Hearts. Like, we didn't get enough of the
Of the
ensemble.
other, yeah.
And it's a team sport. And so you want the ensemble. And I felt like this book gave us the ensemble.
Well, and I felt like with the WAG situation, like it was very, like there are like some WAGs that are a lot closer with each other than others. Like, yes, like they are all
Sure.
there, but it's like high school, you still have your cliques.
How bad was it that I just kept thinking of Brittany Mahomes as Courtney?
I mean, you're not, you
That's
know, wrong in what was going on in my head either. So
Were we sharing thoughts?
I think so.
Oh.
I think we often share thoughts.
We
Yeah.
probably do. That's who I
Osmosis.
casted. That is exactly who I casted that first lunch. I was like, oh, look, it's Brittany Mahomes in a book.
With a shiny gavel.
With a
Well,
shiny.
I so wanted to be like, oh, they're not like this. And then I'm like, oh, she knows they're like this.
Yes, she
Like,
does.
Yeah.
oh. Yeah, it taints it a little bit, right? Like,
Yeah.
but you
It
also,
does.
I think it also brings into the fact that some of these other long ensemble sports series, all the WAGs and the girlfriends like get along. Like, if we look at Pittsburgh Titans, that girl gang is tight. Everybody gets along. Nobody's
And like
complaining.
the Vengeance, like 11
Yeah.
books, they all get along.
So you just have to know that, that's great in
You have to
fiction.
suspend
I
belief a
suspend
little bit.
belief on that one, but this one, it was messy.
Yeah. And
Stacy.
I think that goes to like we were talking about last week, how, you know, the actual team like splits into groups on how they hang out. And I think that translates very much into probably how their wives hang out as well. So
Probably, yeah.
I think it was, you know, obviously she has real life experience. It felt very accurate.
Yeah. Stacy says sorority on steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
So let's do our thing now. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'll give it a thumbs up because I really like the way she writes. I really liked Marley. It's a little dated. You know, and I didn't love the third act breakup, but for when it was written and, you know, the accuracy of the football, I would say thumbs up.
Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm a thumbs up too. I agree with Amanda. It definitely is dated, like the pop culture, the hashtag. Like there's things that like choices made that I didn't enjoy, but I would not recommend this book to somebody.
Yeah. Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumb sideways.
Yeah, I'm sideways just because it's not my kind of drama. Like, I get frustrated with the drama.
It's a thumbs up for me. I'm really interested. She has a new book. She's releasing a new book this year. I think it's the first time she's releasing in probably 3 years.
It's been a while, yeah.
And I don't believe it's a football book. the new book.
I'll look it up.
So it is on my radar for us to read later, because what I'm interested to see is, you know, because this was dated and this one did have some a little too much pop culture. So I'm interested to see, because reading it a second time was different. My experience was different. So it's a thumbs up for me, but I'm excited to see her new book to see.
So the heroine is a kindergarten teacher and the hero is an investigative reporter.
Okay. So not football. So, well, because she's out of her football era. Her husband has retired.
Yeah.
And been retired for a minute. So, but I really enjoyed her writing style. And I will say book two in this series is a secret baby. So that might not be for you.
I do.
I like Secret Baby.
It's not for Jenny. She works as a waitress at a strip club. He comes into the strip club and because they had been in love in high school. And basically everybody told her to go away because she was going to ruin his or they were high school sweethearts, went to college together. She got pregnant and everyone kind of paid her off and pushed her away so that she didn't get in way of his career. So she's working as a waitress at a strip club and he comes into the strip club with the guys and he's like, well, you're here, you know. So
I'll feed your kid.
Yeah. Anyway, I really liked book two is my favorite in the series. So, but again, I like a secret baby. And again, we said this book was super messy. So yeah. I went that route with my book recs because I am finding that I might be in my messy book era.
I like a messy book.
You know,
They're not bothering me right now.
No, because nothing's as messy as the real world.
No,
that is true.
Okay, so if people liked Intercepted by Alexa Martin, what other books should they give a try? Jenny, do you have any?
Okay, so I was trying to think. You and I did a quick shot on this book. I think it was by Keelan, where like she inherits
the game.
The game.
Okay. Yes. I could not think of the title.
The Game. That book was messy.
Yeah.
That book was really, but it had the best grand. So like, if you didn't think that this book that was enough of a grand gesture between the two of them, and you want a really dynamic, significant grand gesture, because we read that book in what, 2022?
Yes, a few years old.
And that grand gesture still lives rent free in my head.
Yeah, because he does like the exact opposite of what Kevin did.
Yeah, he does the work. He puts his actions where he says he's putting his actions. So it was dynamic. Any others?
No, I was trying to remember that for
that's a great
a good
one.
While.
I didn't even think about that one.
Vi likes a messy book, so.
She does. What do you have, Leah?
Princess and the Player by Ilse Madden Mills. She kind of likes a messy book as well, but hers are not always like super angsty along with the messy. And then Becky and I were talking about this earlier, but like the Men of Haven, like if you like messy, like their relationships and the way they come together, like they're messy.
Amanda, do you have any recs?
I just had two. So just thinking in sports, like Second Chance, I had Hawk by Sawyer Bennett, which is book five in the Cold Fury.
That one is messy.
I thought that one's really messy. Like they have like a party history and, you know, she's the flight attendant. And he's trying to, you know, basically get back with her. And
oh, no, that's a vengeance one.
That's Bishop.
Oh, wait,
no,
sorry.
That's not Bishop. Yes, it's book three. Yeah.
Sorry,
Blue.
I'm confusing my Sawyer Bennett books.
But Blue is the flight attendant.
Right? Yeah, she is. And she's got the brother.
Bishop's book.
Is it? Okay. Then which one is Hawk?
No, it's Bishop is first book. He's the center that dates the coach's daughter. And then it's Legend, and then book three is
It's Eric.
Eric and
Okay.
Blue. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Never mind. So
That's
Hawk
okay.
and Vale is the one I'm talking about. So they partied together when they were younger, and I forget how they get back together. She's not a flight attendant, but anyway.
That's
So that
okay.
was my one with the. I was looking at a bunch of Sawyer Bennett books today, trying to figure out which one I wanted to talk about.
It's okay.
And then the only other one I had for that was the When I Think of You by Maya Ariel, the one you and I read
Oh,
together.
yeah.
It is super messy. It's a second chance, and it's like they're in Hollywood. So he's like a director, producer. She's working in a studio. They were together in college. It is big, messy, big celebrity messy. That's a really good one.
And that makes me think of Love on the Byline by Zeo Axelrod. That one, it's not messy because of the hero. It's messy because the hero's best friend and who he works for is who she's investigating, but also he was her tormentor in college.
Oh.
And so it just makes for a lot of extra messy dynamic.
I was trying really hard to find, like, I felt like I've read like a one night stand, like second chance, kind of like that, but I couldn't figure out what book it was, and I may have been confusing books in my brain,
It's
but
okay.
we all
Time
do it.
Out by Stacy Lynn. That is a one night stand that ends up in an accidental pregnancy. Rate a Date by Monica Murphy. This is in her date series. He's a football player. She doesn't know he's a football player. They meet on a dating app and he lies. And
Which
she.
happened in this one.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's an investment banker.
Yeah, right. He lied to her. I even put all that together. When I Need You by Lorelei James. He's a football player. She's the coach of the cheer dance squad for the Minnesota team that he plays for. They can't date, but they also live in the same building. She's a single mom. And it just gets messy because he wants to pursue her. And she keeps saying, no. We can't date. I can't afford to lose my job. And he doesn't care because he's not going to be the one that gets fired when everything is said and done. My Darling Bride by Ilse Madden Mills. That one's just messy because not so much football, but he has a concussion and she has some health issues and the family is messy. Of course, My Next Best Fling by Gabriela Gomez.
I thought about that one, but I saw you already had it.
You can always take whatever ones are on my list. That book, I think, kicked off like
The messy era.
the messy era. It was at
That's
that
fair.
moment that I was like, oh, because I was thinking about that Deep End by Allie Hazelwood. It is messy. And it's got the toxic best friend, which isn't really your friend if that friend is toxic kind of
Right.
thing. Anyway, if nobody's read it, they should be reading it. The Wrong Quarterback by C.R. Jane. She likes drama and messy. And then The Good Ones Are Taken by Taj McCoy. And Hookshot, the last book of Kennedy Ryan's in her Hoop series, I would say is also similar
Well, that whole
messiness.
series is messy,
Well,
but
that whole series is messy and a little bit of trauma dumping. So
yeah.
definitely book one for the
definitely
trauma
book one.
dumping.
But that's what I got. I really liked this book. I hope others will continue to read and give Alexa Martin a chance because I feel like she's one of those sports authors that's a little underrated.
Yeah, I could see
Sure.
that. Yeah, she writes a strong story. Like, there was no holes. Like, yeah, I was mad about stuff, but like, it was a clean book.
But the characters are dynamic and the way she writes her, so one of the things that we often complain about are crowded pages. When there's so many, especially like in a book one where there's so many side characters being introduced, did anyone feel like these pages were crowded?
I think if we didn't have all the characters, the book wouldn't have made sense. Like, if it wouldn't have worked as much if we didn't have those side characters when we got them.
Yeah.
They all had a purpose, I felt like. I mean, I didn't feel like anybody was just there just to be there.
No, and there was no name dumping. Like I didn't feel like we were meeting 72 people at the same time. Now, can I remember any names? No. No, I cannot. But listen. Yeah, but
you can't remember names when there's like four characters.
Right.
Yeah, she can't even remember our names some days. So.
Well, yeah.
This is true.
This is true. I called my child the wrong name today, and it's my child. I called her Annie, which is my sister's name, and they act alike. So anyway. So I didn't feel like the pages were crowded. I really enjoyed this book, and I hope people will, you know, if you're looking for that sports romance, you want those vibes, you absolutely should be reading Alexa Martin. It was good football.
It was good football.
Okay, so that's a wrap on this episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Intercepted by Alexa Martin. We'll be back Sunday night, 9 p.m., right here on the YouTube and live in your podcast feeds. Sunday night, I believe we are talking dark romance.
We are.
So mm-hmm. Jenny will not be here.
I will not.
Instead, we might get Lindsay.
Well, maybe. Lindsay's kind of in chaos right now.
Right. Okay. But next week, we're deep diving into Unexpected Rush by J.C. Burton. So get ready for some more football romance. That'll finish out our month of football romance. And then we go into the month of whatever Becky wants you to read. You're going to have to read. Mm-hmm. And I think the only one who took the challenge so far was Jenny. Jenny put her name on all the episodes.
I'm traveling, or I would have. I'm having things going on in March.
Becky today was like, you didn't put your name on March. I'm like, yeah, because I didn't open it. Like, I saw the email, I flagged it, and then went away. And I did not look at it today still.
She did not. Anyway, thanks everybody for hanging out with us. Thank you for reading Intercepted by Alexa Martin. Until next time, everyone.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.